Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Big day today on Canucks Central, Sat.
Massive.
Ken Holland's going to join us.
Yes.
And we got producer Josh Elliott-Wolf back.
Yeah, he's back too.
He's the man with more vacation than anybody in radio history. He is back.
This is my first vacation of the year.
And Chelsea are champions of Europe.
Well, I wasn't going to give you that carrot. Sat came into work in a good mood today.
Yeah, feeling good.
Chelsea won a nothing title.
Well,
so he's happy.
It's a title. It's some silverware.
The Europa Conference League?
Yeah. They've now won every single title available to man.
This is how you know whether a cup or a tournament means. The longer the name of the tournament,
yeah, the less value.
The less value it likely has, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
If it's the Southern Midwest Championship in some kind of college sport, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Well, it's funny because people already look down at the Europa League.
Yeah.
And this is the Europa Conference League, so... But nonetheless, champions are champions.
Yes. So congratulations to your Chelsea Blues. All right. It is Canucks Central, though, not Chelsea Central, Sat. So let's get to the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is the Open on Canucks Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Canucks amidst the offseason and watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, watching the Edmonton Oilers get closer and closer to the dance yet again. And we're seeing two teams emerge yet again. Obviously, Florida up 3-1 and the Oilers up 3-1. And we're looking and headed towards a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup final. And it's, anytime you're a team that's outside of the playoffs looking in and watching, especially as the two best teams sort of float to the top of the mountain, as Edmonton and Florida have here almost, you kind of look at it and you're like, man, how do the Canucks get anywhere close to these guys? Because they look so far away from what we saw at the end of the season to what these two teams are reaching right now.
It's interesting because at this time last year, the Canucks had pushed the Edmonton Oilers to 7 games.
Yeah.
Or not at this time, but similar time.
They pushed the Oilers harder than even Dallas did in the conference final.
Yeah. Now, there were some games that were lopsided, namely Game 6, where Edmonton just throttled the Canucks in Edmonton, which forced the Game 7. It took a 3-0 lead, and the Canucks, made a game of it late. But nonetheless, there was clear separation in Game 6 and 7. You saw that when it mattered, when they had to win, Edmonton showed they were clearly the superior team. But the Canucks at least made it a series, right?
Yes.
And they were close. And we felt like, okay, well, they weren't there, but, had Demko been healthy, had Besser been healthy for Game 7, do you have a different outcome? I mean,
been anywhere close to what Elias Pettersson should be?
So you can talk yourself in, you could have talked yourself into, whether, it was realistic or not, but at least you could give a realistic, at least, argument that you were somewhat close, right?
I mean, even in Game 7, they were a Nikita Zadorov skate from tying the game at the end.
Yeah, and listen, like I said, you could tell from the flow of the game that Edmonton was always a better team. The Canucks were defending well, got some saves, but got some timely goal scoring. But really, Edmonton was superior. But nonetheless, you felt like, hey, you weren't that far off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're farther away now.
Yeah.
And the reality is you're going to have to deal with McDavid and Draisaitl for a very long time. And even if Edmonton loses some players and they don't have the same strength, and ultimately, with Hyman being out, who knows what happens the rest of the series. But like, this is what you have to take down if you want to have any chance of doing anything of consequence the next 5 to 10 years.
It is hard to imagine that Connor McDavid leaves Edmonton. All signs pointing towards him signing an extension at some point this summer when he becomes eligible. They have Evan Bouchard that they've got to get a contract extension done for. But if you have Draisaitl and McDavid, you've got a pretty good group to build around. So what are how do you build a team to go up against those guys? Is that the right way to go about it. It's probably not the right way to go about it. You just have to find a way to build the best team that you possibly can and let the chips fall where they may. You know, like, here's the thing. You're not going to be able to have a Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in your lineup. So you have to find a way to be able to beat them without that high gear that they're able to bring.
Like, ultimately, it's about building a team that can win.
Yeah.
Right? And a team that can find ways to shut down the opposition. And Dallas, the thing that's so intimidating to me is if Dallas can't do it,
yeah,
you see how high the bar is, you know, and how much better you have to get in order to do it. Now, every team is built differently, but
the thing that the Canucks have over the Dallas Stars, crazy to say this, but like, the Stars have like three good NHL defensemen.
Like, actually really good defensemen.
Actually really good three. Like, three.
They're playing Petrovic.
Then they've got three other guys.
Like, Petrovic is playing big minutes, or I mean minutes in the conference final. And
Dumba,
this guy,
Petrovic, CC, like, yeah. The, you know, Canucks decor is deeper than what Dallas currently has.
So I mean, so we know the Canucks ceiling is not where it needs to be to compete with those teams. What about the team's floor?
So would the floor not be okay? Maybe obviously you won't have JT Miller for a full season, so that changes things. But in a year where, like, the last 2 years, right? So you win the Pacific Division, you have 175 points, however many they had, and everything went right for the team in that season, and then the wheels started to fall off a little bit towards the end. But in a year where everything went right, we saw the ceiling be around 110 points. And then in a year where everything went wrong, they were at 90 points.
Yeah.
So is the true talent level of this team somewhere in the middle? How much does losing JT Miller affect that? Obviously, Besser is going to be likely gone. You have some other holes to fill. But is this still not, with a better defense, pretty solid goaltending, if you imagine Lankinen and Demko in there, maybe the best or one of the best tandems in the league, to me, the floor is still kind of a 90-ish point team for the Vancouver Canucks.
We've mentioned this before, but if, say, Patterson gives you at least something resembling what the actual Elias Patterson can be, and you have relative health from your two goalies, this should be a playoff team.
Yeah.
The issue is how much better than that can you be, but I do think the floor of this team is probably underrated. I think part of the
frustration is an overrated, underrated Wednesday.
Yeah, we can get to this maybe a bit later on, a bit more. But I would say it is somewhat underrated, the floor.
Yeah.
It's a ceiling that's limited, right? And I see Raymond and others texting in and making the point that, you know, this team needs to slow play it. And because there are enough things. Like, you look at the blue line, for instance, you mentioned the goaltending. You're right. The goaltending, if healthy, that's one of the best tandems in the league. Yeah. No doubt, right?
Should be.
The defense, we know how good Hronek is. We know, obviously, Hughes. And we know Marcus Patterson can hold his own. We mentioned Myers, too. And in a good year, Myers is fine, right?
Myers is playing 18 to 20 minutes a night. He's fine.
Right. But it comes down to Villander, DPD, and Mancini.
Yeah.
Or mostly DPD and Villander. I know Mancini's been really impressive, and our fans are very, very excited about him. And for good reason, right? But those are going to be the players that determine the ceiling of the blue line. Because the best path, I've been thinking about this so much, about like how do you create a pathway to becoming an elite team? Well, they might have elite goaltending, elite defense, if those two players come through. And if you look at being patient, if you could be patient for a couple years, I'd be fine with not putting all my chips in the middle this year. You know, like, I'd rather not trade the first round pick. I'd rather be patient and take the year and compete for a playoff spot, be in that mix, and then build on top of that and move forward. The elephant in the room is, how do you do that and keep Quinn Hughes? But to me, it comes down to, if you're able to get the most out of your young defensemen, that's the best path of this team becoming elite in the future.
I mean, we've seen teams do this in the past. I guess the best example is some of those Nashville Predators teams coached by Barry Trotz and put together by David Poile, where they were just loaded on the back end, but they didn't have a ton up front, and they were still able to put together and ice some pretty good teams because they were just so good defensively. They were hard to forecheck against, do some of those types of things, because they had 1 through 6, a pretty solid decor. And that made them and gave them a really high floor as a club. And that's, I mean, that's the most glass half full version of the Canucks you could be looking at with the way that the roster is currently constructed. And even if, even in that scenario, you know, those Predators teams never really had a player like with the potential of Elias Pettersson. Yeah. Right, they didn't have a true number one center. It was like David Legwon and some other guys that were playing top line center minutes for those clubs.
Yeah, well, and that was the problem. They weren't able to bridge that gap, and they actually did for 1 point. Remember, they got Korea.
Yeah,
they got Forsberg, and they came close that 1 year in the playoffs, but they just couldn't. But they were good enough. Like, a team they finally built for that one shot was there, but there was a one shot. And what I'm hoping we don't see is that the best shot with this core with Quinn was last season.
Yeah,
You know, and that's what you hope wasn't the case, right? And if you have, if you're able to get commitment from Quinn Hughes, I think you could be patient, but it all comes down to how do you get commitment from Quinn Hughes without improving your team this offseason and at least finding that center. But as far as the floor for this team goes, especially with some of the young guys coming through, and we've talked a lot about how we still want to see somebody, whether it's Lekromäki, Ratu, or somebody else, become a difference maker, but not just, you know, be organizational depth and be guys that can play down your lineup, for instance, and just be decent NHL players. They have a lot of depth too.
Yeah.
When it comes to playing roles and down your lineup, it just comes down to the very high end. So I think they can be a very competitive team, but with real ceiling limitations. But to their floor, they might have one of the higher floors. Like, when we look at these bubble teams, so to speak, mm-hmm. They probably have the highest floor of any of those bubble teams.
Well, a lot of the younger teams, you know, people are going to probably try to push Anaheim as a team that could make some big strides next year. But I think that's a team that's more volatile when you have mm-hmm. when you're depending on so many young players that are still kind of finding their way in the league. Utah is going to be somewhat similar, though. You know, they're looking like they're setting up pretty well. Minnesota's and St. Louis's of the world, they're going to be kind of exactly in the same spot that the Canucks are, kind of 500 teams that will have some variance depending on where mm-hmm. things go for them. And then Calgary, I think Calgary's going to have a much more difficult year than the one they just had. Just my opinion, as they kind of surprised everybody this year, but they maybe come back down to earth. It's still a very competitive Western Conference in those wild card spots, mm-hmm. but it's not something that shouldn't be a huge speed bump for this Canucks team to overcome with a couple of strong moves this offseason.
Yeah, and everyone knows this already, but we'll just repeat it for posterity. It all comes down to Elias Pettersson, right? Like, if he plays well. If he does and the team is competitive, even if they don't, you know, become that elite team, maybe you can talk Quinn into, hey, we have something here again. Mm-hmm. I believe in the direction. But that aside,
yeah,
I think if they get buy-in from the coach and the coach is able to be a decent NHL head coach at the very least,
yep,
like, this could be a good regular season team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, like, really punch above his weight next year, because if they play through a system, don't give up a lot, really good defensively, good goaltending, decent special teams, they have all those factors, they could be a really strong regular season team. Obviously, it's a different story once you get to the playoffs, when you lack that depth and lack that high end up on your forward group. But I think for all the talk around this team, they're probably going to be more competitive than a lot of people who are down on the team believe.
Yeah. A lot of mixed reaction on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. Tones, completely agree with you guys. If next offseason they can make those moves that really help out them and put them on the right path, maybe that's enough for Hughes to want to stay. Sat and Dan, to create a pathway towards becoming an elite team, they may have to move on from their current front office, is another text coming in. So somebody way out on the Canucks front office.
Yeah, I see all that too. I mean, and people have their doubts, right?
Last year, there was a consensus full boat of confidence in Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford. This year, it's a lot, less than that.
And, you know, Raymond makes this point. If Quinn was signed long term, would they not be trying to do the same thing, though, management wise? I do think their DNA is to compete.
Yes.
And get better. And again, I'm not against trading away draft picks. Like, for all this talk, for instance, you know how there's all this talk now about Montreal passing Vancouver because they made the playoffs this year, and how Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton are great executives. And yeah, a lot of credit to them. But they also traded first-round picks and draft picks. Like, they traded away a first and a second for Alex Newhook. They traded away a first-round draft pick for Kirby Dach.
Yes.
You know, now they acquired first, too, and they flipped them just like Vancouver did. But, I mean, other teams that are people are giving credit to, now they've done better in the draft recently, and they've been able to get high-end players with high picks, which has made a big difference for them and it really helped them out. And I'm not taking anything away from them, but everyone's always trying to compete and get better. I'm not against you trading picks and making your team better. The thing that I don't want to see is being too desperate.
Yeah.
And are they going to have to be desperate this year because they feel like they have to improve the team in order to impress, you know, Quinn Hughes to and get him to stay here?
You have to have aggression, but smart aggression.
Now, Rutherford told us that Rutherford told us that they're not going to be desperate.
Yeah.
And I do think, though, to the point of the text, they are a front office that's always trying to be aggressive, but do they have to be even more so than usual this offseason?
You almost have to, because of the way that the trade market is shaping up, right? There's a lot of teams looking to add and not a lot of players out there and available to add, at least not that we know of, and we've talked about with some of our insiders, including yesterday with Frank Saravalli. Into the playoff central roundup, Ken Holland is going to join us, LA Kings general manager, as he embarks on a new challenge, trying to get that Kings team over the hump and maybe beyond the Edmonton Oilers at some point in the near future in the Stanley Cup playoffs, a problem a lot of Pacific Division teams are having lately. Oilers took a 3-1 series lead over the Dallas Stars last night, but it came at the cost of Zach Hyman, who had, we believe, wrist surgery, according to John Shannon, and is out for the season. We were just talking yesterday about some of the injuries piling up for the Florida Panthers, and now the Oilers have lost Zach Hyman for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, that's tough. And that's how quickly it can change. And, you know, we were talking about how the injuries for Florida, now the cup final hasn't been set yet, but Florida's had some injuries, but all of a sudden it looks better on the Florida front, which we'll get to in a second, but it looks pretty bad for Edmonton. Like, hey, the picture changes so quickly in the postseason.
Losing Hyman is big. Probably means they might go 11-7. Matthias Ekholm is on his way back. I guess they could bring Jeff Skinner back in. He's only played one playoff game. So we'll see. But they've had to dip in a little bit into their forward depth with the injuries to Connor Brown in the last game and now Zach Hyman in this most recent game. Frank Saravalli reporting that Mike Vellucci will join Jeff Blashill's staff with the Chicago Blackhawks. So some coaching situations are shaping up. Mitch Love and DJ Smith appear to be the finalists for the position in Pittsburgh with the Penguins, and it will be Marco Sturm as the head coach of the Boston Bruins. So some of the coaching vacancies are getting shaped up. Game 5, Canes and Panthers coming up on Sportsnet. Reinhardt, Mikkola, and AJ Greer all expected to play as the Panthers go for the gentleman sweep of the Canes.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, getting their guys back, looking a bit healthier, so it looks a bit better for them. You think the Canes push it one more game or it's over? I thought the Panthers would win in 6.
Yeah. I think Panthers close it out tonight and give themselves a lot of rest going into a final against a likely rematch with the Edmonton Oilers.
Disappointing conference finals.
It has been.
You know, like the
I thought Edmonton-Dallas was going to be... I mean, look, the game was a lot more competitive, I guess, than the scoreboard suggested last night.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought Dallas would put up more of a fight.
Yeah. Now it's 3-1. The series isn't over. Hyman's out. And as good as Skinner has been, he's the type of goalie that where it can change quickly.
Mm.
We've seen it in the past. But it just...
Skinner's been so solid.
He's been great. He's been like, ever since he came back, he's been terrific.
Yeah. He's he went from, you know, one good game, one bad game, one shutout or 6 goals against, but he's figured that out and has been really solid for the Oilers in these last couple of games. And more speculation around Minnesota Wild centerman Marco Rossi on the trade block per Jimmy Murphy. Flyers, Sabres, and Penguins are among the interested teams. Should the Vancouver Canucks be interested in 60-point back-to-back 20-goal centerman Marco Rossi.
You should always be interested in talented hockey players, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I just fail to see how he fits what Vancouver's after and him having success with how the Canucks are set up.
Yeah.
Like, they already have Hedo playing the more skill, you know, softer down the lineup minutes. Pettersson, we're trying to get him back, resuscitate him to begin with. Who's doing all the matchup minutes? It's not going to be Rossi.
No, he's 5'9".
And also just like the toughs and all the minutes and what the Canucks are looking for, it just doesn't fit Rossi. So if Rossi comes here, where is he playing? Are you playing moving a guy to the wing? And I don't know. Like the
assets, Pettersson be that guy?
I guess. I mean,
they don't seem to think Pettersson can be that guy.
No,
way that Kopitar and Barkov have been for their respective teams.
No, and if you go through the guys they've been after, they traded for Lindholm.
Yeah.
They've been after Norris, guys who take a lot of faceoffs, playing all different types of situations. Like that's what they're clearly after here.
Yeah, and even at the end of the year, you know, the talk about Pettersson's got to become more of a 200-foot player, like. We've always thought Pettersson's pretty smart defensively, but there seems to be a bit of a disconnect with how the team looks at that because he's never really been the matchup center of choice for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and somebody is saying, what is toughs? Thanks, Dex, Texan. Fair, you know, what is tough? Means the tough minutes, the matchup minutes where you have to take the defensive zone face-offs, tough, you know.
Go up against the other team's top line.
Yeah, taking big PK face-offs, tough situations. So that's toughs when we say toughs.
So for me, I don't know. I am warming up to the idea of Marco Rossi.
Hmm.
Even with very real question marks that you pose, I'm really struggling to find better options out there.
So no, I understand. And
if it's between Marco Rossi and Pavel Zacha, I'm taking Marco Rossi.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You're not?
No.
The cost is also higher for Rossi.
How much higher?
Well, in
Minnesota
theory,
like can't wait to get rid of this guy.
Theory, like I'm not the biggest Rossi. I used to like Rossi a lot, but seeing him in the NHL, I don't know.
It's not like he's a hard player. He's not a hard player. Yeah, he's small, but especially like going back to his draft year in the OHL, he played, you know, an inside game.
But it's a little harder in the NHL to have success with that, right? But anyways, to me, the other thing is like, I can sit here and talk about, I like this player, but is he going to fit here? Is it going to work here? I just fail to see how it's going to work here.
Yeah.
So I'm not very, very keen on giving up assets for a guy that I don't see working here.
Could Hedl move to the wing?
Yeah, I think Hedl could. I'm not sure Rossi's the guy that I acquire to move him to the wing.
Yeah. You probably let Hedl to play center if one of them is playing center.
And then again, like, and to me, it doesn't make sense to if you're playing if he's playing the softer minutes, mm-hmm. you're strengthening your softer line. That's what you're spending money on to make your
soft
team better.
Soft line is going to be so good.
and just based on how they build how this team has been constructed, like, I just
spend
don't
more
see
time
the fit.
In the offensive zone. And Marco Rossi.
Sure. I mean, I don't disagree, but is that what they're going to do? Like, the Canucks be like, you know, hey, let's just become an offensive team under Adam Foote. Like, I just don't see it.
Well,
could you imagine them?
Have two very clear top six lines that take offensive minutes and then build out your bottom six to play defensive minutes. Look for Marco Rossi to be a big name ahead of the NHL entry draft. Probably Minnesota, given that he's an RFA and eligible for an offer sheet, would like to get a deal done before July 1 so that they can dictate the terms a little bit more than when he is open to offer sheet potential. Stan Rachow, Satyar Shah. Coming up, Ken Holland, GM of the LA Kings, is going to join us. As all of our guests on Sportsnet 650 call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. They keep the lights on. Ken Holland next on Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.